Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Srishtam Manamapi Shachi Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Stra Vamastamara Saktasya. No, I'll read it again. Vamastamara Sakshasya Bhuja Danda Sapatuvaha Krira Kandukatam Yena Nito Govardhana Girihi. This is a verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited in praise of Sri Govardhan. English translation. May the left hand of Lord Krishna, whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower, always protect you. With his left arm, he raised Govardhan Hill as if it were a toy. Vishnu Sahasranama. Name 830 is Sahasrarchi. Two words here. Archi means who has rays, light rays, heat rays. Sahasra means a thousand. So it means the thousand rayed who illumines the whole universe, everything in the universe. So through Vishnu Sahasranam, we're able to appreciate the presence of Krishna everywhere, in everything, his pastimes. It's the same subject matter as Srimad Bhagavatam, but from different perspectives. Who illuminates everything in this universe? We can think of the sun, especially, the moon. Western scholars of religion who think they are more advanced, in general, Western scholars think that they're at the pinnacle of knowledge and understanding. They think that nature worship is a very primitive form of religion. But we see in the worship of Krishna, we worship him as the supreme personality of Godhead, but who also manifests in everything, through everything. And those who have the eyes to see him can see him. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokiyanti Yang Shyama Sundaram Achintya Gurna Swarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma offers his prayer to the original person, the original male, Govinda, who is seen within the heart in the form of Shyamasundara, blackish, beautiful, composed of transcendental form, composed of inconceivable qualities. Devotees whose eyes are tinged with the salve of love see him always in their hearts in this form. And Krishna offers in Bhagavad Gita ways to see him even when we're not on the topmost platform of seeing Krishna always within our heart. Often people ask us, have you seen God? That being presumed to be the state of self-realization. But Krishna gives a formula whereby everyone can see God by knowing that he is and is represented by the, for instance, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho. In Gita, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So everywhere we go, whatever we do, if we learn about Krishna from Gita and Bhagavatam, Vishnu Sahasranama, we can learn to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. And because Krishna is by name, by definition, all attractive, then gradually as we more and more perceive his presence everywhere in everything, and we think more and more about Krishna, we become Krishna conscious, then pure love for him develops. So Sahasrarchi, Prapasmi Shashi Shuryo. In Gita, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon, and this very name is reflected in this name, Sahasrarchi, the thousand rays who illumines everything in this universe. Sahasra, we find often in Vedic literature that the word Sahasra is, it literally means a thousand, but it's indicative of unlimited, uncountable. One of the commentators on this verse at this point offers references from Shruti with Sahasra as adjective, as an adjective to indicate the innumerable qualities of the Supreme Lord. So Sahasra Yajasa, Sahasra Parnaha, Sahasra Path, Sahasra Shirsha, Sahasraksha, Sahasra Posham, Sahasra Poshinam, Sahasra Bhava, Sahasra Mushtihi, Sahasra Bhara, Sahasra Yama, Sahasra Viram, Sahasra Shringaha, Sahasra Stunam, Sahasra Ketam, Sahasra Chakshusham, and so on. So it's a common usage in Shruti, the original Vedas, the term Sahasra to indicate the innumerable qualities of the Lord. Sahasra Yajasa, worshipped in innumerable ways. Sahasra Parnaha, literally has unlimited leaves. His vision is in unlimited ways. He has unlimited heads, unlimited eyes, and so on and so on and so on. So here we're discussing Sahasrarchi. This name reminds us of several names already given in Vishnu Sahasranam. Deepta Murti came already. His very form is effulgent. Sahasrangshu, it has a very similar meaning to Sahasra Archi, that came. And an upcoming name, Jyoti, it's a well-known word in Indian languages up to the present time. So he has unlimited rays, countless rays, emanating from him in the form of the sun and the moon. In other words, it is he who gives the sun, the powerful sun, so powerful. But that power of the sun is given by Krishna. The sun has the ability to pachan, shoshan, pratapana, prakashana, to cook, pachana means to cook, or to make ripe. Everything in the universe becomes ripe. Fruits become ripe on the tree. The grains of rice and wheat and millet in the fields become ripe due to the action of the sun. That action is endowed upon the sun by Krishna. Or this is actually Vishnu Sahasranam. So Vishnu is the maintainer. How does he maintain this universe? We may think of it in some kind of remote way, that he's up there and he's somehow or other maintaining. But very practically also, he gives the power to the sun, by which the sun, by his heat and his light, ripens the grains and the fruits. We learn from modern science the action of the sun in chlorophyll nourishing the plants. The moon also, the rays of the moon give light by which the plants are nourished. Then the sun also has the activity of Shoshana. By his heat and light, he dries up. When he dries up means by the action of the sun, there is rain, and then again the earth dries up due to the action of the sun. Pratapana, he gives heat, and Prakashana, he illuminates. So these are functions of the sun which we can understand simply by observation. But as usual, the acharyas who comment and explain these names from Vishnu Sahasranam, they don't just extrapolate from their own understanding, but they give references from Shastra. This is a symptom of an acharya. Achinoti ya shastrani. Acharya sthapyatyapi. Swayam acharyate yasmad acharyas tena kirtitaha. An acharya is defined in terms of Shastra. Knows Shastra, teaches Shastra verbally, establishes the principles of Shastra by his own behavior. So these acharyas commenting on Vishnu Sahasranam, they always quote from Shastra. Parashara Bhatta quotes from the Pushkara Sanghita, Agnish. Agnishtom Atma Sangyasya Devasya Paramatmanaha Surya Chandramasau Vidhi Sa Akaro Lochaneshvaro. know that the sun and the moon are the two eyes of the Lord, who is the Supreme, Paramatma, the Supreme Being, whose name is Agnishomatma. And then he quotes from Gita, a verse which in this series of discussions on Vishnu Sahasranam, I have had recourse to quote many times. So from Gita I'm quoting again in reference to this name, Sahasrarchi. Lord Krishna states exactly in line with this verse here, we can see that all the shastras, they have an inner harmony. Yadaditya gatang tejo jagat bhasayate kilam yaj chandramasi yaj chagno tat tejo vidhimamakam. Teja, the power, the light, the heat. Where do we find that? We find that in the sun and in fire, and light we find in the moon. So Krishna says that the light and the power which is in the sun, which illuminates the entire universe. Of course, there are some regions of the universe which don't receive sunlight, we learn from Bhagavatam. And then we also learn that the Shastra sometimes speaks in general ways and not specific ways. So in general, the parts of the universe inhabited by pious people is illuminated by the sun. Even on this planet, there are places where there are living beings, very impious living beings, who never see the sunlight. They may be within the earth, within caves in the mountains, deep in the sea. The more pious living beings can see the sunlight. So the Krishna says, I am the light of the sun, or the power of the sun for illuminating the whole universe, that comes from me. And similarly, the light of the moon and the light of fire, you should know that that illumination is from me only. And from this we can understand also that he is the light of all lights. So we may say there are three basic forms of light: sunlight, moonlight, and fire. And you may say, well, look at this electric light, there's neither sun nor moon nor fire. So modern science disproves Shastra. No, not at all. This is a transformation of a manifestation of fire. And even the electricity which is generated, that requires some input. There are nuclear power stations, thermal power stations, hydroelectricity. But if we trace back, what is the hydroelectric power from the movement of the rivers, or from the movement of the waves? But how is that movement going on? How is the water coming? Because of the sun, the movement of the waves is due to the influence of the moon. In coal, it's burned in a thermal power station for generating electricity. That coal is made possible by the action of the sun in bringing bodies into being, and then those bodies, as we are told in science classes, those bodies they become compressed in long course of time into coal. So like this, if we go back, we'll see the sun and the moon, their light, their heat are behind all different kinds of energy in this world. So Krishna is the light of all lights. That we can remember. In English, we can say like this. Shankaracharya, he gives a similar understanding for this name. Sahasrani Anantani Archishi Yasya Sahasrarchi. He who radiates innumerable rays is Sahasrarchi. And he also quotes from the Bhagavad Gita to support his understanding of this name, but a different verse. And of course, his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam came before that of Parashrabhata. So his quote from Gita to support this understanding, it's a very straightforward understanding. It's some of the names of Vishnu Sahasranam, we find that they are interpreted with unpacking the names in complex and obscure grammatical rules, but Sahasrarchi, it's a very straightforward name, the thousand rayed. So in this regard, Shankaracharya quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay describing to Dhritarashtra what the universal form looks like, although Dhritarashtra generally can't see. But he got the opportunity to see. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapad Uttita Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyad Bhashas Tasya Mahatmanaha. If 1,000 suns were to rise all at once in the sky, the splendor that would be produced might be something like that, Sanjay says, of that great personality. Generally, the Mayavadis like this 11th chapter of the Gita. They like it because it seems to them to justify or to uphold their understanding that everything is God, therefore there is no personality of God. But from Gita we understand that everything is God, the Supreme Personality. And here we have, in the description of the universal form of Krishna, that if 1,000 suns were to rise at once, the combined brilliance might be something like that of Mahatmanaha. Here, Krishna is described as that great personality, that great Mahatma, that great person. Satyadeva Vashishta comments on the significance of this name, that it's indicative of his immeasurable glories in immeasurable ways. Immeasurable, uncountable glories in uncountable ways. From our mundane perspective, we can imagine. Those of you who have been to the sea and seen the seashore with the sand, previously only a small percentage of the human population would have even seen the sea. Most people wouldn't, in their whole life, they would never see the sea. And they wouldn't see the sea even on a YouTube video because there was no such thing. People who are not born close to the sea don't see it. Of course, if they're pious Hindus, they might be living somewhere in Madhya Pradesh where there's no seashore, but they go on pilgrimage to Puri, Rameshwaram, Dwarka, and such places, and they see the sea. Often people go when they're a little older on pilgrimage, and you can imagine the surprise after spending their whole life inland, and they cannot imagine, all of a sudden they see the sea. And they cannot imagine what the seashore is like with so many grains of sand. Of course, not everywhere the sea has sand, it has a sandy beach. In some places it's all pebbles. In Croatia, is it all sand? It's only sand. It's a good holiday spot, right? People like to lie on the beach, on the sand. But in some places it's just pebbles. Some places it's cliffs, sheer cliffs. So anyway, if we were to go to the seashore and try to count the grains of sand on the seashore, would that be a very sensible thing to do? Today I'm going to count the number of grains of sand on the seashore. It's not a very sensible thing to do. One thing is, you can't even define where the seashore begins or ends, because there's the sea itself which keeps on moving. You say the seashore ends where it meets the sea, but the sea is always moving. And if you go inland, then gradually this, depending where you are, the seashore, if you're in North Africa, the seashore might continue for 100 miles or more if it's the Sahara Desert. It's just sand and sand and sand and sand and just goes on. But if you're in Croatia and you go inland, then gradually they'll become, there's some soil mixes with it. So on, it depends which part you're in. In some parts it just becomes rock, right? But where does it begin and where does it end? And that's difficult to define in the first place. And then if you try to count the number of grains of sand, who would do that? And then you're going down also. When you go down, is it still the seashore? If you're 1 foot down, is it still the seashore? That's the problem of defining. We take it for granted. There is the seashore, and we know what it means. But if we want to precisely define it, it's very difficult. It's impossible even to precisely define what is the seashore. And if we want to count the number of grains of sand, both ways it becomes impossible to do. So Satyadeva Vasishtha is pointing out that this name Sahasra Archi is indicative of his innumerable, uncountable qualities in all respects, which again remind, there are so many names in Vishnu Sahasranam which we can cross-reference. Aprameya, immeasurable, he's immeasurable, but still, he is the supreme, loving, kind Lord. Some religionists think that because God is so great and we are so small, he is immeasurable, we cannot begin to understand him. Therefore, they conclude, we cannot have a personal relationship with him. He cannot be a person, because a person you can understand to some extent, but God We cannot even begin to understand him. That is a wrong conclusion. We can begin to understand him. Even if you say that we cannot begin to understand God, that is a statement about him. That means we've begun to understand him. Otherwise, the word God, or whatever language you want to say it in, would have no meaning whatsoever. If you can't understand anything whatsoever about him, you may say, God is great. Allahu Akbar. God is great. But then how is he great? What does it mean that he's great? To what extent that he's great? We should have some understanding. And then we begin to understand. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita explains about himself and how he's great, and also presents himself. Here I am. I am the Supreme. We cannot fully understand him, but we can, by his mercy, have a sweet, loving relationship with him. And this is the point in the 11th chapter of Gita, that the impersonalists completely miss or misunderstand, that Arjuna, who was afraid upon seeing the universal form, asked Krishna to then show his four-handed form and then to show his Soumya Rupa, his very beautiful and pleasing form, that Arjuna knew him personally. Arjuna has a personal relationship with Krishna. It's true, we can't have a relationship with the rays of the sun. You may say, I love the sunshine, but it's not in a personal way. But we can understand that behind everything that we like in the universe, and everything that we don't like also, there is a supreme power, supreme powerful. Who that person is presents himself through Shastra. And eventually we are to come to the stage of knowing him and loving him without need of Shastric justification. That is what Vrindavan is all about. But of course, the acharyas living in Vrindavan, who know Krishna and love Krishna and can embrace Krishna and talk with Krishna and play with Krishna and dance with Krishna and kiss Krishna and steal Krishna's lunchbox, they also are very busy living in Vrindavan, consulting Shastra, presenting Krishna through Shastra, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sadharma Samsthapako. They do so because it's when they have the eye of love by which they see Krishna, they don't discard the eye of Shastra. And they want to bestow upon others the ability to live with Krishna, dance with Krishna, play with Krishna, which is possible for us conditioned souls when we are bestowed with the mercy to do so by beginning to understand Krishna through Shastra. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, he was also living in Vrindavan, commenting on Vishnu Sahasra. I'm not sure exactly where he commented on this, but he spent much time in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama, he links this name, Sahasrarchi, with the previous name, Charnurandra Nishudana, which means, he killed the Chanura, the wrestler, which Baladev Vidyabhushan extrapolates to mean that he exterminated an enemy of the devotees of Mathura and also gave them great happiness. So he links this name with Sahasrarchi. Now, how do you link that? Krishna killed Chanura, the wrestler, and Krishna is also to be understood as the multi-rayed light or the giver of multiple rays of light. So how do we... Did Krishna kill Chanura by zapping him with concentrated sunlight? No, it's not described in Shastra. How do these two names relate? In this regard, Baladev Vidyabhushan describes the meaning of this name the same or very similar to what the other commentator said. Because of him, thousands of rays abide in the sun. And he quotes from Shruti, Taittiriya Brahmana, Yena Suryas Tapati Chejasedaha. Because of him, the glowing sun shines with splendor. And then again, Baladev also quotes from Gita, Yadadityagato Tejam Tejo Tejaha. So how do the two relate? Well, Baladev Vidyabhushan explains that because Krishna is inherently so powerful that he can light, and he does light and heat the whole universe. So he himself and even his servants can easily overcome very powerful persons of this world. So that is an explanation of the name Sahasrarchi, the thousand rays, as given in Sri Vishnu Sahasra Nama. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitai trinakang padayone patya kritvaja kakushatam etad aham bravimi hei sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukarona vayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.